Accession number 27189, Real One.
Carol Poulsen, Real One. Can you tell me if there was a tradition of military service in your family background?
Yes, it was on my mother's side. On her side, there's quite a number of officers in the family. And I wanted to be an officer when I was 14 years old or something.
What was it that attracted you to the idea of a military life?
Well, some of it was the outdoor life. I was not very fond of sitting in doing my school work and so on. I liked outdoor life, and I believed in the military I would get that. And as I said, tradition.
How did you go about joining the army? What was the procedure that you had to follow?
Well, after I finished school, I was a student at the 2nd Division NCO school. And I was a student there in the spring of 1940, on the 9th of April.
When had you joined the division?
In 39.
Joined in 39. How old were you at that time?
Well, I'm born in 1918.
So you joined the army. Had you done your service before
going to the
NCO school?
No.
What did you have to do in order to be admitted to the NCO school?
Well, I had to submit my testimony, is it, from school, and well, I was accepted. Well, there were no physical, but we had the 3 months service before we were accepted at the school.
What did you do in that 3 month service? Can you remember what training you did and what you learned?
At the school?
No, in the 3 months before you went.
No, the 3 month training was at the school.
Ah.
It was a preliminary. If you didn't fit in, you were thrown out.
So it's a sort of probationary.
Yeah, yes.
Yes. What did they do with you in that 3 months then? What was the content of the training?
Mostly ordinary military training, soldiers.
Mm-hmm. How did they start? Was it with foot drill, going on to other things, or was it with weapon training?
It starts to be close order drill. But the ordinary, the way they do it in the army, teaching conscripts.
Did everybody in your class that joined pass the course?
Yes.
And what happened then after the first 3 months? What were you learning after that preliminary period?
The school was the preliminary training. This was in the summer. Was at a camp outside Oslo. But during the winter month, it was mostly schoolwork, indoors, mostly.
Do you remember any of the subjects that they were teaching you?
Well, ordinary subjects, theoretical field, work, or what you call it, military. Oh my God! Well, all the ordinary military disciplines you have at the school.
Did you do any
exercises during that time, outdoor training exercises?
Yes, small exercises, yes.
What sort of scale? Was it up to company level or
no.
platoon level? Or?
Well, we took part in a couple of battalion, brigade exercises. One in summer and one in winter, I remember. It was small exercise, and we didn't learn much from them. Not the students, I mean.
Now, you were growing up in the 1920s and 30s. Do you remember if you had any ideas before 1939 that there would be another major war in Europe?
Yes, I was very interested in defense matters. And I think I was afraid that Norway sooner or later would be in the war.
Was there any particular occurrence that persuaded you that a war was inevitable rather than just
Hitler?
Hitler. And did you think that Norway would be involved, or that Norway would be able to remain out of it as it had in the First World War?
I hoped that the government would strengthen the defense so we would be able to keep outside the war. But I was mistaken.
Can you remember what you were doing on the 9th of April when the German invasion began?
The school we are in was in Fredrikstad. We were supposed to get some hurried up training because of the international situation. Mm. And in Fredrikstad, there shouldn't be any snow at that time in April, but it was. We were in the middle of the night. We were told to get up and dress, and we got live ammunition and so on, and was told that the Germans had were sending their warships towards Oslo. And I stayed in the school was part of the defense in Østfold at that time. It was a very bad show, and after a week we went over the border to Sweden, and my comrades were interned in Sweden.
You say it was a bad show. What was bad about it?
The Norwegian performance was bad. Sure. Most of the units mobilized. They were the men were okay, but they weren't soldiers. The unit didn't have any cohesion. Is that the right word? So. And in action, it went to pieces, most of it. The only real fighting units in Østfold was the 2nd Division School and the 1st Division School. I mean, we were young and green, and we didn't know much, but we were a military unit.
You were solid.
Pardon?
You were solid. You had solidarity.
Yep.
How did they use your school then? What did your school do during that week of?
Well, half of it was taken out of the school and as second in command of platoons and so on in mobilized units. Mm-hmm. But the rest were kept together. In the command the commander of the school, he was got the he was battalion commander.
How many were you?
In the school?
Mm.
Do I remember that? 100 or something like that?
100. Mm. And did you actually go into action during that week?
The school? No.
No.
We heard the Germans. I didn't see a German until I got home again in the summer.
Do you remember where they deployed you during that period of?
Yes, I do. We stayed in Fredrikstad for a while as when the infantry battalion there were the direct regiment there were mobilizing, and then we were sent up north to the bridge over the river Glomma, but not in the front line. And after a while we were pulled back some kilometer and to a defense position. And after the week, the whole units were going back to Örje, and everything broke down, and some units crossed the border on their own, others were ordered over the border afterwards.
When you were deployed in those defensive positions, did you prepare them? Did you dig in or build breastworks or do anything of that sort to strengthen them?
Yes, not very very good positions, but we dug a little.
Mm. You were ordered to go eastwards into Sweden. What happened when you got to the Swedish border?
We were disarmed, put on trains, and in my case we were going up to Dalarna, in the neighborhood of Mora in Sweden, and interned there. Intern, is that the right word?
What sort of place were you put into? Was it a military camp or something like that?
No,
sort?
it was called Philadelphia. It's some of the Christian, not a church, but all those.
A camp.
What was a house where they had worshipped and so on.
Mm. What did you do there day by day? What was the routine?
In the beginning, nothing. Eat, sleep. But after a while, the whole thing was relaxed, and five of us were allowed to do some work for the farmers up in the place where we were interned. So we went to shopping. And lived a quite free life for a while.
Did the Swedes explain to you what they intended to do in the long term?
No. But in the middle of the summer, after the campaign in Norway was over, we were sent home to Norway. But during the stay in Sweden, when we were still fighting up north, a friend of mine made plans to try to escape and go up north and join the Norwegian forces there. But when we were ready, the war in the Northern Norway was over.
You were a bit too late.
You were too late.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to get news of what was going on in the Narvik area? Was it possible to get a reasonable idea?
Only what we read in Swedish newspapers.
pretty, as far as I remember, we knew that the Norwegians were doing quite well up there. But then the Allied left.
How did you get back to Norway? Were you put back on a train to...
Yep. When I got to Halden, I saw my first in uniform, I mean, in Norway.
What did you do once you got back to Norway initially?
Well, I got joined my parents, and we had have a farm up at Nøstrand, and we spent the whole most of the summer and the autumn up there. But after a while, a friend of mine from the NCU school, we decided that we wanted to. We knew that the king, the government, and the cadre of the army, navy, and the air force were going to be established in England. So we wanted to go to England and join the Norwegian forces there.
What ways did you think of doing that?
Well, first we thought of going from the east coast by boat, but we were not successful in getting the right connections to be able to do that. So in the 1st of January 41, my friend and I, we went on to a train at Østbanen station in Oslo and traveled up Østerdalen to Tynset, I believe, and went on skis from there through over the Lake Femun and crossed the border into Sweden. And we went on ski 3 Norwegian miles before we made contact with any Swedes.
How did those Swedes receive you when you arrived the second time?
We were very well received. We went to the railway station at I don't remember the names in Sweden. It doesn't matter. And we had some Swedish money left from our when we stayed in Sweden earlier, in order to buy tickets to Stockholm. But we didn't have enough money. I don't remember, there was a very small amount that we couldn't pay for the ticket. And then the station master said to some other Swedes there, well, let us pay for those guys going to Stockholm. So we got the money from them, paid our tickets, and then went train to Stockholm and went to the Norwegian embassy.
What happened at the Norwegian embassy? What did they...
Well, they gave us a place to stay. I mean, not a hotel, but those small places where you can function. What's the English name of it? Yeah, doesn't matter.
Pension or a guest
house? Then they got some money to get some clothing. But they weren't very enthusiastic to see us at that time. We had hoped that that they would send us to England as soon as possible. But no.
Why do you think
there was only one man at Norwegian Legation who really helped us? His name was Wendelbo. He was a very good man. But after a while, he tried to get visa for us. Finland, Russia, Syria, Palestine, Turkey. At least we had to Russia, did I say? Yes.
Yes.
For at that time it wasn't possible to get to England by plane. We arrived in Stockholm in January, and in April we left for England, and that took quite a long time. I arrived in England in October 41.
It sounds like you took a rather indirect route.
Yes, we went through through Finland,
yes,
Russia, down to Odessa by boat to Istanbul, Constantinople at that time, through Ankara, Palestine, to Egypt, and we stayed in Egypt and Cairo and Alexandria for a while, and by Norwegian ship from Suez to India, Bombay. Stayed in Mumbai for a while. And at that time, we were quite nearly a company.
And you were moving steadily further away from England.
Yes. And in England, we stayed for quite a while. I saw my first Gurkha there. And then we went by British troop ship to East Africa, South Africa, where we stayed for quite a while, by another British troop ship called Uduna to Ceylon, Trinidad, to over to to Canada, to Halifax, and then from there in a large convoy over to Liverpool, and they arrived in October. And for a young man from Norway, I haven't been outside Norway before. It was very impressive to see. In every harbor we were, there were a lot of Norwegian ships. And in that convoy from Halifax to Liverpool, there were very, very many Norwegian ships.
When you were on this journey, how were you treated in Finland and Russia on your way through? Did they...
All right.
Yeah.
I have nothing to complain of.
Were they friendly, or were they just anxious to get move you through and on beyond?
Well, they were quite friendly. But, you know, when we arrived in Egypt, then Germany attacked... It was in Egypt, yes, I think so. It attacked Russia, so you were very, very lucky.
Yes. That was in June 1941.
Yeah.
What do you remember about going through Syria and Palestine? Did you get any particular impression of those territories going through them?
It was very, very hot, I remember. And the country was full of Australian troops, British troops. We didn't see much of the country.
How are you getting along in these places? Were you going to Norwegian embassies or consulates when
yes.
you went into them?
Yes, yes.
And
for instance, not in Finland, not in Russia, but in Egypt, yes, and in India, yes.
Do you have any idea of why it was you were sent to Bombay from Sirius? Because there were ships that went round from Sirius direct to England at that time.
Yes. And you couldn't, as far as I remember, you couldn't go through the Mediterranean, the Gibraltar Strait, and so that was not a way to get to England at that time.
Yes, that was closed, but you could have gone down the east coast of Africa and then round the Cape.
Yes.
Possibly.
But at that time, when we were in Egypt, no Norwegian ships were going that way, and at least we weren't... it was better to go to India, we were told, and then
carry on
back to Africa again.
What was going on in Bombay when you got there? Was there anything in particular?
Yes, we organized ourselves as a military unit.
Oh.
And we got money from Norwegian consul to buy not uniforms but tropical outfit that looked like uniforms. Mm. So we were then we drilled a little, and we got some weapon training from the British and so on. So from Bombay we were supposed to be a military unit under a company commander.
What was your strength?
Pardon?
What was your strength? What numbers were you?
How many we were?
Yes.
I don't remember. I can find out, but I think we were around between 70, 100 person all together.
It's about a company.
Yeah, mm. A small company.
And you mentioned seeing a Gurkha. How did that happen?
We were staying in Calabar camp outside of Bombay. And I believe it was some Gurkhas there at the time. But it was the first time I met what you call the loose. What's loose? The small insects you get when you not wash yourself.
Oh, lice.
Lice, yes.
Yes.
All the beds at Calabar camp are full of lice.
Oh. Very unpleasant.
It wasn't pleasant, but so each day we used to try to get them out of the bed. Mm.
Did you succeed?
No. When you walk in the morning, you always were bitten around the
wrist
and
the ankles.
Yeah.
Mm. You arrived in Liverpool eventually, after some voyages westwards and then east again. What happened when you got to Liverpool?
We were put on a train to London, and went to a place called Patriotic School, where all foreign people the British didn't know about were interned until they had got their clearance.
Yes. What did the clearance involve? What did you have to do to get it?
I don't remember. It wasn't... I mean, we... I don't remember.
What did you do after you'd been cleared?
Some of us were contacted by... Captain Martin Linge. I don't remember how it happened, but at least some of us were recruited to the Norwegian Independent Company No. 1, attached to the SOE.
What kind of man was Martin Linge? What do you remember about him?
He was a very enthusiastic person. Sure he was. But I didn't know him very well. And